This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
What's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and I'm sitting here with my co-host Whitney, and this is going to be a very special episode number 18 of Within the Trenches. How's it going, Whit?
Hey, it's so good to have you finally back, man. It's
been, what,
6 weeks now?
Something like that. Yeah, it was a good time in Florida. I went, graduated, and I got to go to the Mini-C conference over in Boca Raton, and it's Raton. So if anybody ever says anything, don't say Raton, because they will murder you.
No.
Yes. When I got there in the beginning, that's the first thing they said. They're like, make sure you say Raton.
I just like to call it Boca.
Right. They say it's Boca.
Where are you going? Boca.
Yeah. And in Spanish, it's like the translation loosely into, English is like rat mouth.
Oh.
But it's so beautiful there. Yeah. So I don't know
Boca
why.
Boca Raton. Fancy place.
Yeah. But I'm back, and it looks like now the sun is out and everything.
When you left, there was a time down there I was real jealous because you were putting pictures up. Your sisters had taken pictures of you at the conference.
Right.
You guys all have shorts and t-shirts on. It's like sideways hail here, blizzarding still. But just this past week here in Michigan, it's finally gotten sunny. My husband just mowed our grass for the first time. I know a lot
Beautiful.
Of people anywhere else have had wonderful weather for a while, but we are finally in allergy season.
Yeah.
I think is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you have been having this problem this past week, or so. You've got a.
And I wonder, now that I say that, I wonder if it is allergies. Just for any of our listeners right now, if I am struggling more than usual in this episode, I can't hear it all out of my left ear. So at work, I found that to be incredibly debilitating when I wear a headset because I have a headset on and we're monitoring, 15 different radio channels?
Yes, exactly.
I have one headset on, so I have a select speaker that I hear in one ear, and then my unselect is everything I would hear in my other ear. I can't hear any of those channels right now. My partners have been so awesome. I have to take my headset off and yell, what? But now during our podcast, we wear a double big headset, kind of like the Beats by Dre headphones, the big ones. And I can only hear out of my right ear, so I'm having a hard time because I can't hear really what Ricardo's saying with these headsets on.
And I'm trying not to laugh too much, but it's been great. Even at work, when you were on Lean and I was on radios, or vice versa during the weekend, like, hey, we'd be talking to you like, what? Huh?
What?
Did you say something?
Huh? And I do this weird head tilt thing, like to get my good ear towards you.
Right.
So like, I'm like, burp? Yeah, the whole time. So hopefully it goes okay. But if I'm missing jokes.
That's why, she can't hear.
I can't hear anything. But we're super excited.
Yes. This has been actually a conversation that Whitney have been having for a while. A long time coming. We are excited, like Whitney said, for this week's guest. And like I said, this is a very special episode, episode number 18, our encounter with a mad dispatcher. This week's guest comes from southeastern North Carolina, and you know her as KMK of Diary of a Mad Dispatcher. This is Kristen Kitchen. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
We are well. I'd say we are well, but as you heard already, we have some problems going on.
And normally it's not a problem because when Ricardo and I are doing podcasts, we can hear each other through our headsets. It's all linked up, right? But when we do a Skype episode, the way that the headsets and everything integrates, we can't hear each other in our headsets. We can only hear the person that we're interviewing. So if it wasn't for you, Kristen, I could hear just fine in this podcast.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. We're so excited to have you here. We have a ton of questions for you. So we're just going to kind of dive right in first. And I just want to know, obviously, we're going to ask you all about your center, but kind of explain where you're at right now. I looked on the map and it looks like your county is right over on the East Coast on the water there. Is that right?
Oh yeah. We are surrounded by water on three sides because we have the Cape Fear River that runs up. So we're like we stick out into the ocean just a little bit. It's a great beach town.
And it looks like you guys are, your county is about 328 square miles. So just over 300 square miles, but you have over 200,000 people in your county. So I'm assuming that it's not very rural, farm, agricultural, and it's more city. Does that sound right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We are the second smallest county in the state of North Carolina with some of the highest call volume.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez. And is it because it's more of like a resort type place where there's more people that go there or no? Or how is that?
Is it industrial? Do you have like plants there or anything?
Very few industrials. We do have some industrial areas in other counties that adjoin us. Nothing really industrial here in Wilmington. We essentially, we're a college town and we're a huge tourist town. So year round, we have lots to do.
How far are you from Raleigh?
2 hours.
Okay.
Man, a college town.
Yeah, what college is in Wilmington?
The University of North Carolina at Wilmington, the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Oh, man. So I'm assuming you guys take a lot of crazy calls. If this is a college town, you know, resort type and everything, can you think of any calls, any very odd or interesting calls that you have taken at all?
My favorite college kid ever was years ago, but it's still one of the funniest stories. He called and told me he fell off a cliff. Well, there's no cliffs here. So he was obviously drunk. So we continued talking. It turned out he fell off of a roof. So at the time, you know, I'm trying to get everybody to him and he's just obliterated and he keeps talking and all of a sudden he starts going, ooh, ee, ah, ooh, ah. I was like, what are you doing? He said, I'm walking. I said, sit down. He said, well, I have a broken leg. I said, well, what is your name? And he said, George. I said, George, what? He said, George, I have an MF and broken leg.
That's
a very nice name. So time goes on and towards the end of the call, while my officers are in the area trying to find George with his interesting last name, he says to me, what are you wearing?
Oh, yeah.
I said, you do know you can go to jail for making false calls to 911. So he hangs up on me. I was mad. It was a cell phone. It was before we could track him real easily. I had his mom and dad's number and was getting ready to call him in Raleigh. When the police officer called in and said, hey, call that number one more time. And the officer answered the phone. They had him. And I didn't let them take him to their regular magistrate. I made them bring him to the magistrate in the same building as the 911 center. When he got up there to the magistrate's window, I walked down and I saddled up next to him and I said, hey, what are you wearing?
Nailed it.
I was so mad.
Had he really fallen or injured himself at all, or was he just bombed? And
he was just bombed. He wasn't hurt at all. He didn't even have a scrape on him, the little monster.
That little turd.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So
mad.
I ended up jumping right into one of the calls that you had taken. But what I wanted to know is, because we had talked about this a little bit in an email, but how did you actually get into dispatching? There was a story that you told me where there was two different jobs and you got one of them, you could hold for a year and then you went for dispatching. But how exactly did it come about?
Well, I had I was working at a catalog company and they moved the company to another state. So they gave us these really awesome severance packages. And, you know, at 25, I was done with the whole bouncing from job to job kind of thing. I had one child. I was married. I really wanted to settle into a career. So I had, you know, I was holding out for the good jobs. I watched the websites and I put in for a job with the sheriff's office, which was a communications job. And I put in for a job with the post office. I had to take the civil service test. I passed it. I got a call from the post office on the exact same day that I got a call from the sheriff's office saying that I had been hired.
Man.
It was a tough decision. I mean, it was really tough which one I wanted to do. But fortunately, the post office, once you pass that test, you can hold your grades for 1 year and they'll hold your position for 1 year. So I put the post office job on hold and figured if I couldn't get the dispatcher down in the 1 year, I had a backup. But I never looked back, never even thought twice about going to the post office.
Nice. So you immediately fell in love with it, huh?
Oh, yeah. From day one, I absolutely loved it.
Now, what was it that really made you love it then? I mean, were you listening to calls or, I mean, what was it like for you when you first walked into the dispatch center and saw everything around there?
Well, first of all, it was a shock because I never got to see the center before I went in there. I mean, I was hired. I went through a review board, interviews with detectives, but I never actually went into the 911 center. So when I went in there, it was like shock and awe because there was 10 people answering the phones, answering the radios. The way they had described it to me was like an operator position. like answering the phone. Right. It was huge shock. But fortunately for me, in case anybody didn't notice, I love to talk. I am a people person. I've never met a stranger, and it was just completely and totally interesting to me from the first moment. Anything that's a challenge.
Wow.
So I need to take you back. So now you have 10 people working in your center. How many of those are call takers, and how many of those are on the radio, and how does that work out there in your center?
Well, now that was 13 years ago. Okay. We have almost doubled now.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. We do have a big center. Currently, we have 11 manned consoles. They must be manned at all times.
Okay.
We dispatch law, fire, and EMS for the whole entire county of New Hanover. So not only is it just, the main sheriff's office and the police department, we have several beach agencies because we have three separate beaches with their own jurisdictions, plus the campus police. So on a normal day, we have 11 consoles that must be covered. We have a supervisor and assistant who also answer phones when they're available. The rest of the people that are on, we like 18. We're stacked with 20, but we do like to have 18. The rest call take, but everybody is required to work the radios, so we do rotate throughout the day on the different consoles, so you never lose your skills.
Do you work 12-hour shifts, or what are your shifts like?
We work 12 hours. I'm straight days, so I work 7 in the morning to 7 at night, so I'll work two consoles in a 12-hour day.
Okay, so is it every 6 hours you guys switch, or do you rock, paper, scissors it, or how does that work out? Do you have popcorn when you walk in? Nose.
We switch at about 6 hours.
Is it just when you have a second, or is there like a timer that goes? Because I'm not familiar with this. They used to do this at our center before I started. Yeah. But
We have 3 10-minute breaks in a 12-hour day. We don't get lunches here. We get 3 10-minute breaks in a 12-hour day. So the first set of breaks starts about 10 in the morning. And then the second set of breaks starts about 12:30. When you take that second break, you just go ahead and move on to your next console.
I see. Okay.
And then our third break starts at 4.
How many different radio channels do you have operating for just your county? I'm sorry, when I say that, I mean just for like law enforcement. I know fire, like our fire and our EMS are all split up. But what about your police? Do all the city PDs and the county PD, do they all work on the same channel? Or is everybody kind of on a different channel?
The Wilmington Police Department, they have 3 separate channels that they work off of. We split the city into 2 sides, an east and a west. Okay. And then they have a special operations channel, which is like their detectives and their crime scene and their traffic unit, stuff like that. The sheriff's office has 2 separate channels. One is their main primary channel, which is my favorite channel, I might add. It'll probably make somebody mad somewhere, but that is my favorite channel to work. And then they have a secondary channel, which is their civil division serves papers there, all the school resource officers. And it is actually one of the busiest consoles in the room during the week because you have to consider all of those school resource officers are a handful. Okay. Then we have 2 separate law enforcement channels for 3 of the beaches. 2 beaches share one. And then a second beach has their own. And then we have a campus police channel.
That is a lot of channels. Oh, man, I can't even imagine. You know, I like radios as well. You know, if it was phones or our lean channel, we run, all the warrants and driver's license and all. I would be the same way. I would rather do radios. It's more fun. There's more going on. But sometimes the officers will be doing traffic stops and they don't give you a chance to put in that first one. They immediately go on to the next one. The other one will key up right after that. So any officers, if you're listening, give us at least a second to, put that first one in and then go to the next. I know it's time sensitive, but come on. One of the officers that I spoke to that works for us in Allegan City was saying the same thing. He says, I have to commend you guys that, some of the officers don't give you guys a chance to put these in, and you guys are right on top of it. So good work. So thank you very much, 2-4. You know who that'll be.
Yeah, 2-4. headset's falling off here.
Her headset has fallen off.
I'm trying to keep one of them off so I can hear you guys better, but I'm struggling here. Kristen, I was motioning to Ricardo. I love how talkative you are. I appreciate that. I think that's incredible. That's a wonderful skill to have as a dispatcher. Have you found yourself, do you feel more comfortable as a call taker on those type of calls, maybe where it's more of a civil issue where somebody calls and they really want a police officer, but you really know they don't need a police officer. They're just really angry and they want to talk to somebody. Is that where you feel most comfortable, or how, where are you your best at? I know you said you like being on the radio channel, but call-wise?
Call-wise, I really don't mind taking calls. I really like, you know, I used to get in trouble all the time. You know, you're answering the phones too fast. Nobody else is getting a chance.
That's the best thing to have. Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
Yeah, that
keep
is a good thing.
Everybody on their toes.
You know, who gets in trouble for answering too many phone calls? This girl does. We do actually, not all of our law consoles, but many of our consoles, we are responsible for the phones while we're on them. Our agency just got, within the last year, the ACD system, the automated call distribution. So you really don't have a choice when you get a call.
It filters it right to your console?
Right in your ear. You'll be mid-sentence about, you know, whatever you were talking about, which is probably not good in there. And, you know, all of a sudden there's a beeping noise in your ear and there's a lady going, are you there? Hello?
So you don't even like initiate, you don't even like hit a button to start that call. It just pops in your ear.
Nope. Surprise.
I would have been fired years ago.
Yeah. That's crazy.
We have learned to snap our jaws shut really quick and start wiggling your fingers like you're on the phone.
Holy cow. We're both still looking at each other right now. Like, did you just hear what she said?
You know, and I really didn't like it at first, because I don't get as many phone calls as I'd like. You know, I like to be busy. I'm very ADD. I get in trouble really easy because I find crap to get into. You know,
yeah.
If there's nothing going on the street, I got to look for something to do.
I agree. Do you guys run warrant checks and all that stuff too?
Oh yeah, we have, we do all the warrants, all the NCIC and all that good stuff. Fortunately, we don't have to do the entries. We don't have to do, you know, the people or the stolen. We used to, but now, you know, we kind of push that over on their desks. Their desk people aren't answering the phone, so they may as well be doing something.
Yeah, no kidding. We get all the after hours warrants. Like if a judge signs off on it at like 4 or 4:30, it'll be the last interoffice trip over to, and I have noticed now it's like 2 and 2:30. He's signing off on them so they can get them in the last mail run and they get sent over to us and we enter them. But I agree. Same with you. I love being a call taker. I enjoy that. But I love that detective-y kind of figuring stuff out. Like, hey, Whitney, here's this phone number. It's a cell phone number. I can't get it on white pages. And
I love that. Yeah. That's my favorite part.
We call it our LEAN position. Because in Michigan, LEAN stands for Law Enforcement Information Network. And that's kind of where our NCIC, our Interstate Index, SOS, all that kind of stuff is all together in one program. And so, yeah, that's where I agree. I'm the same way. Just got to keep going, going, going. So, Kristen, now you're the, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the page administrator and the creator of Diary of a Mad Dispatcher. Is that right?
That's right.
When did you start this page?
Diary of a Mad Dispatcher. It got out of control so quick. It was started in December.
Right. Because you had a blog now before December, didn't you? Before you put this on Facebook, I should say.
Yeah. I had a blog for probably a couple of years and I wasn't really that active. I'd do a couple here and there in the month. Mm-hmm. And somebody sent me a message one day from a page asking if I wanted to be a guest administrator. And I was all down with it. And I did it for 30 days and I was so excited. It was so much fun. I decided when I was done with my 30 days that I would, you know, make my own page. Mm-hmm. And it just exploded from there. I mean, it's only been 5 months and we're looking at 50,000 people in the next couple of days.
I know. And it's out of control. You just posted that you were about to go on for your podcast interview in less than 10 minutes. And while Ricardo and I were getting ready, all of a sudden we noticed that our Facebook page even was just started exploding with likes. And I was like, look at that, Kristen doing a little PR work for her. So this just kind of came from your idea of your blog. Was your blog your outlet? Was that what it was? Or was it just a hobby? Or?
Oh, it was definitely my outlet. I work with a really great squad. You know, we're really close. And every day at the end of the day, you know, most people go out the door, run into their cars as fast as they can with their hair on fire. Mm-hmm. My squad always stays. We all hang around for 10, 15, 20 minutes, chat, talk out what bothered us that day. You know, as dispatchers, some days we might claw each other's eyes out on the floor, you know, mend fences. You know, we always did that. And it was like when we got in our cars at the end of the day, nobody was stressed anymore. You know, you didn't feel like you needed to drive 100 miles an hour with the radio turned up to bring yourself down. And I think it really made a big difference. So we were talking with Nan. I said, you know, what if we had a sounding board where everybody could, you know, state their opinion on that. So I started with a blog. And, you know, I would just blog whenever something struck me. Usually it was when something pissed me off, like a bad article about 911 or a tough call or something like that. But, you know, when I would do the funny ones, you know, like the funny pictures or the funny stories, those always blew up. So when I started thinking about the page, I started thinking about all those funny things and how, you know, they really do make a difference. And nobody gets our sense of humor but us.
That's right. Yes. That is very true. Whitney has said in the past that we are a different breed of person. Mm-hmm. And that is definitely correct. And people don't understand the dark humor. So, you know, with these episodes, you know, people can listen to this and hopefully understand us a little more. If not, you know, they'll just get a kick out of it.
Yeah. But that was our idea when we started this podcast. You know, we didn't want to start it as, you know, it wasn't just supposed to be like, hey, this is going to be a fun thing. This is a hobby. We had a goal in mind, and our goal was to expose the community to what we do as a job. Mm-hmm. And it was also supposed to be a relation between other dispatchers. And I think we've hit the nail on the head with it, but you're right, Kristen, you do need something that just your outlet, I guess, is the best way to say it. Cause sometimes just talking with your coworkers isn't the best. You just need somewhere else that you can go
exactly,
to. And that's why
that
I commend Diary of a Mad Dispatcher. You had mentioned, you'll post on the blog if there was a bad article about 911. Ricardo and I had come across an article that we wanted to bring up to you. Ricardo, do you want me to talk about it, or you got it?
You know more of it, but I'll just I guess pretty much set it up. It has to do with this bill that's going to be passed, or that they're trying to pass. It has to do with 911 calls, and I've always thought that when a disturbing case happens, you know, that they shouldn't release the tape right away because, you know, the family is still grieving at the time. And, you know, I think it would be hard, you know, I put myself in their place. So if it was me that had that happen, I wouldn't want it blasted all over the news right away. You know, I would want a little bit of time for it to sink in and for me to get not completely over it, but a little bit more better with the situation. And that's what's going on with this article that both Whitney and I read. They're trying to get this thing passed where it would give a time restriction on 911 calls before they get posted. And what all did it have?
The bill or the call?
The call, the actual call.
The actual call that sparked this was the police chief. He had mentioned how they get overrun with media requests for these 911 tapes, and they only have, 5 days to respond to them. So a lot of times that's supposed to be spent doing detective work is actually spent, you know, blocking out critical information, that kind of stuff. But what had happened was a member of the community who was well known was murdered by his adult son. Yeah, I mean, he was like 19. The son broke into the house and murdered his dad with a baseball bat, and mom was critically injured, and one of his younger twin brothers was injured. And it's just, you know, it sounded like the police chief was just, for lack of a better word, just pissed that the media wanted this stuff. Now, I get that the media needs this stuff for their job, but I don't think the shock factor is that appropriate. I don't think we need to throw that out and re-victimize the callers. And what is your thought on that, Kristen? Do you think that that's something that we should still allow the media to have their hands on within 24 hours? Or
no, I totally agree with you. I don't think that there's any reason why somebody's trauma like that should ever make it to the news. I can see maybe segments taken out to go in print or to be read by someone else, but nobody should ever hear me crying on the news because my mother's just been murdered or my child's been run over by a car. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't think that anybody ever has the right to hear that personally. I know that the freedom of speech and the media, and they can do whatever they want. And I know that I have actually hung up from traumatic calls like that, that have been dispatched. And my very next phone call is the media wanting the tape. And I'm like, they're not even there yet, but they want that tape because they heard it go out. You know, I don't think that anybody should ever hear that. It's traumatic enough for that person to go through it the first time, but to have to listen to it over and over again on the news, or your neighbors or your friends or your coworkers saying, hey, I heard you on the news. Nobody deserves that.
No, and he makes the Farmington Hills here in Michigan, it's that police chief that is actually quoted in this article. He makes a really good point where he's concerned that if the media plays those 911 calls, he states right here, it can be embarrassing, tragic, or horrific, and other potential victims might hesitate calling emergency services, which I agree. Ricardo and I were talking about it just before we were getting ready to go live. And I said, you know, think about that. If a man is like screaming and crying because he just ran over his child or whatever, there's no reason anybody has to hear that. That is such a raw and a terrible, terrible place to be. I agree 100%.
Okay, so with this, with the Facebook page that you have, Die River Med Dispatcher, you know, that's it's social media. And my question is really, how do you think social media and 911 are working together?
I think I'm kind of on the fence with it. Mm-hmm. In many ways, it's excellent. You know, people post things on their Facebook. It brings the alarm to someone else. Maybe you know that this person's unstable. Maybe you know that this person's been having troubles. Gives you the opportunity to send help that they may not have called for themselves. However, you know, it's a double-edged sword. When you have the teenage girl whose boyfriend's not paying enough attention to her, so she posts some status about being hurt or somebody doing something to her, and then you get that hysterical teenage boy on the phone. And you get over there and she's having movie night with her folks drinking soda and popcorn. It really is a double-edged sword. I mean, I've had people call in and say that, you know, somebody posted something that, you know, didn't sound right. And we got there and it really wasn't right. The situation was bad and, you know, it was too late to save him. As opposed to the other situation where the girl, you know, claimed that something happened to her in the woods and she couldn't find her way home. And we got to the house and she was chilling with mom at the kitchen table doing her homework. So it really is a double-edged sword.
Man. Yeah, we've taken our share of calls where we'll get people who call up and they'll say, you know, so-and-so posted on Facebook that they just took a whole bottle of pills and you need to get somebody out there. Okay, well, where do they live? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know where they live. Okay, you got to give us a little more information because we're able to look at Facebook at work. Actually, we just had a policy that was removed that dealt with social media. Before we weren't able to get onto any social media, Facebook, Twitter, nothing like that during the time we were at work. And really, we couldn't post anything about work. And but there was one clause in there that said that if it had to do with work, like the call that I was just saying, if we were trying to find somebody, if it had to do with that, we could get on there. But now that they've removed it and also, yeah, it's like you said, it's a double-edged sword. It can help, but there's a lot of stuff that comes in where, you know, just like that. I got this message. You need to get somebody over there. I don't know where they're at.
have you ever heard of chat roulette?
I have heard of it. I haven't been on it, but I have heard of it.
Me either. And I heard a story just the other day about, and it's basically, there was a Skype thing that happened too with, and no, don't quote me on this to our listeners because I didn't research this. I didn't know I was going to bring this up. There was a man in the military and he was overseas and he was talking to his wife and something happened. Like he slumped over and he ended up passing away. And I don't know. I think there was question in the beginning whether or not it was a heart attack or whether it was a homicide. I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, that'd be terrible. But I read something the other day about chat roulette. Do you know what it is, Ricardo?
I've heard about it.
Yeah. So to our listeners that don't know, I've never used it. So I might be really wrong, but I think it's a site where you can go and like, it's a side-by-side image maybe on your computer, and then you're just talking to somebody randomly. That's where the roulette comes from. And you like push a button and it generates another person and you start talking. Well, somebody, I needed to research this first because it's going to drive me nuts. It was the same type of idea though. Somebody was staging suicides on chat roulette and then the conversation was cutting out. And the only reason I remember that is I remember thinking I'd be so mad, A, if I was the person having to see that, and B, if I was a call taker on that. Because think, if somebody dials 911, it's going to come in, if they're in your jurisdiction, it's going to come to you. Excuse me. They might be talking to somebody that's in another country, though.
Right.
How do you transfer those calls? As a call taker, what do? You don't even know where these people are, and you feel so helpless. So social media in that aspect, too, just that's where it drives me nuts.
There's nothing worse in this line of work than feeling helpless.
Yeah, and not knowing. Because all we want to do, we come into work every single day wanting to help. That's what we do. So when you can't help, oh, it's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen, how do you think social media is going to play? What kind of role it's going to play when, you know, the whole next generation stuff comes out?
Oh, I am so not excited about Next Generation.
Oh, I smell what you're stepping in.
I am so not excited about it. We have actually already started getting text message calls in our center.
How does is that like a voice that comes across with it? Or do you have like a screen on your phone system, or how does that work?
It's a voice. I'm assuming that Next Gen, there's going to be some kind of upgrade to our phone where we can see, you know, kind of like a TTY. Yep. For the text, but for now, we've already started getting them, and people will text us on our in-house line, and we'll answer the phone, and it's a computer recording that said, you know, that generated soapbox voice that says, "I need the police." Well, we don't have any way of texting them back, and when they do it on an in-house line, we don't get the phone number. So it's, you know, some days it's like shooting fish in a barrel. You can't do anything. Mm-hmm. But we've already started getting them. And I think that it's something we're going to have to get over and deal with. But I really am not looking forward to it, because there's going to be a lot of lost communication there. We're not going to get the, you know, like with EMD and EFD, I don't know if you deal with that.
Yep.
We have strict guidelines with ours. You know, we have QAs every month, you know, pulling our stats. How do you ask all those questions in text message?
And I agree. That's where my biggest concern is. Not that I'm not concerned. I'm kind of very black and white, pretty tough. If it was video, because they say that you can, you know, they'll be able to text you pictures and stuff like that of a scene, I'm not concerned about seeing that stuff. I easily can disassociate that when I go home at night. But my biggest concern is that, you know, I understand if you're in a tough situation, like if it's a domestic violence, you might not be able to talk a whole lot. But if anything, I can say, are you able to say yes or no questions? And if you respond with yes, I can go to town and start asking you everything. I can hear what's in the background. If he's screaming a name, I can put that name in there. And it's unbelievable the amount of information that we teach ourselves to acquire, not through questions.
Oh, yeah. We set the scene. You can set the scene without ever talking to the person. I mean, sometimes I don't even listen to what they're telling me. I listen to what I hear in the background.
Yep, I agree. And so it's really, I think our biggest thing that we're going to have to do is just going to have to be a big ad campaign that 911 centers across the United States are going to have to get out to our callers, how important your location is. We have to know your location. Any center you go to anywhere, I think everybody agrees that as long as we know where you're at, we can get somebody started that way.
Right.
Like if people, they just say, you know, I was just robbed, whatever, and they're giving us what they think is important. It's not that it's not important, but there's a way that things go that we've developed over time that make the call process so much easier. And so, yeah, I agree. I'm not glad that you're fearful of it, but I'm just glad to know that I'm not the only one. I don't want to feel like I'm trying to stand back from it or anything, but I just am worried that it's
going to we'll eventually adapt. We always do. But as dispatchers, we really don't like to. And I mean, even with phase two phones, even tracking phase two phones now with latitude and longitude, it can be so frustrating sometimes. I took a call a few weeks ago. It was a domestic. It was obviously a physical domestic. And I was on the phone with it for 30 minutes tracking it. And I could hear the guy saying, "The cops are outside," but we just couldn't figure out which house it was. You know,
it wasn't a rolling domestic. It was stationary at a house, but you just couldn't pinpoint it.
They were inside a house and I could pinpoint it down to the block.
Right.
But we just never made contact with the female as long as I stayed on the phone. And the phone disconnected shortly after he said that he could see the cops outside. You know, so the domestic essentially stopped right then and there as soon as the cops rolled into the area. But, you know, you can't pinpoint it. And the more technology we get, people think, you know, I dialed 911, the police will be here any second now. No, they won't.
No, they won't, especially if they're not getting funding and budgeting and everything's getting cut and we don't have enough people on the road. And how do you explain that to a caller who's frantic and they're like, "Death God, I'm here." And you want to be like, "Remember that millage you didn't vote for?"
My favorite answer is, you know, when they say, "How long is it going to take?" And I have to stop myself from saying it sometimes. "Well, ma'am, you never know when a plane's going to fall out of the sky. We'll get there as soon as we can."
That's awesome.
That's a good one, though. I know. And you have to explain to a frantic caller sometimes. You want to tell them they might be beside themselves, but you have to tell them a bigger emergency than yours might come up.
Yeah.
Like you're fearful and you're scared and this is really bad, but something worse might happen. And I can't tell you when they're going to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Every time.
there have been times where, you know, somebody yells at me saying that same thing, but, you know, where are they at? Just get them over here. And I have to say, and I know one of these days I'm going to get in trouble for saying it, but I've always told them they're not just around the corner. They're coming from a different spot. And, you know, usually they're fine with that. You just have to kind of explain it to them. But sometimes even then they get, callers get really, really mad.
In the caller's defense, there are a significant portion of our callers that have never called 911 before.
Yeah.
They've never needed a plea. Now there are the other half of the people that are very familiar. They know exactly what to say to get an ambulance there, faster than a slower response.
Difficulty breathing. I have difficulty breathing.
I have difficulty breathing. Chest.
Okay.
As you listen to them smoking their cigarette.
Exactly. Are you having difficulty speaking between breaths? Yes, I'm having difficulty speaking between breaths. You need to get an ambulance here now. I'm like, okay. But yeah, there are other people that I feel bad for because they've never called 911 before. And I understand how scary it can be to see an accident on the highway or, you know, to have your neighbor's house be burning down, something like that. But
or the lights on flash. In this town, the lights on flash is like the world is ending. It's the world is ending if the lights go on flash in this town, like the street.
Oh, really?
The lights go on. Oh, you mean I see what you're saying. Like if the traffic lights.
Traffic lights. Somebody's gonna die. I understand that, ma'am, but there's more traffic lights than there are cops.
Right. When you said the lights on flash, I was like, is that a bar? Oh,
right. I don't know, but it's a good bar name. I'll keep that in mind.
Lights on flash. I know, right.
That's funny. If I can take you back really quick to the text to 911, you said that it comes in as a voice, but how does that actually connect? I mean, is there, it just comes on your phone and you hear it, or I mean, how do you guys get the location?
We don't. I mean, unfortunately, when they text when they're texting 911, it comes through on an in-house line. And the in-house line doesn't pick up that cell phone number because it's a text. If they were calling, it would pick up the cell phone number with caller ID. But because it's a text, I guess it routes through their phone company and then gets sent to us. And it's that auto-generated voice. And usually it will tell us what cell phone company they are. Sometimes it'll tell us it's Verizon or Sprint. And we can call that cell phone company and try to track what phone just sent a text to the 911 center. But it's not always successful. Gotcha. So mostly we just hope and pray that when they don't get a response back or when nobody shows up, they call us.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So the your in-house phone number that you're talking about, do you guys not have caller ID on that in-house one?
We do if it's a called-in call, if somebody calls it into us.
Okay.
If somebody calls into us. Now, if it's like transferred over by the State Highway Patrol or another county transfers it to us, we see that agency's telephone number. So like if they called another county direct and that county said you need the other county and they transferred it to us, we would see the other county's phone number, not theirs.
Okay, I got you. The only reason I ask is that, you know, the way you were talking, I thought, oh, they were just like us. Most recently, because for the longest time, our seven-digit line, we didn't have caller ID or anything. So people would call in and we would go through our questions. You know, we'd get to the part where we're asking for the phone number and they would say, I don't really call myself, but don't you have it right on your caller ID? No, believe it or not, we don't have caller ID on our phones. Now, if you call in 911, then, you know, we'll see the phone number.
Clarify that. We do have caller ID on our E911 screen.
Yeah, on the E911.
Latitude and longitude information. And if you call from your house, it brings up all your addressing. But, and our seven-digit regular call into Central Dispatch, we didn't have caller ID, and it was embarrassing. You'd be like, it's 2013, and we don't have caller ID.
We got it within the last 2 years when we got the newest phone system. So, I mean, we haven't had it very long either.
How long did it take you guys to get that new phone system?
Of course, they sprung it on us on the last second. We're talking like when they sent out the memo that said, you have to be in training for the new phone system next week.
That's nice.
That we're getting ACD, the automated call distribution. So it was kind of a surprise to us.
Oh, see, we're laughing because.
And our bosses are probably going to kill us.
Right.
But when I was it's just funny to say.
When I was hired in 3 years ago, we're in the process of getting a new phone system. You're going to get trained on this one, but. Well, then, after being here for 3 years, I've heard several of my coworkers say the same thing. It's not our boss's fault, or it's not supervisors or admin's fault, but it's just funding, where the funding comes from, the county. Systems technically are still working. It's not like they've just ceased to work and we have no communication with our community, but it's starting to get a little more frustrating. We need to do. And if we have to be compliant, what is it, FCC compliant? Is that who's holding guidelines?
I don't know, something like that. 14? Yeah, but I think when we just recently, or what was it, like 3 or 4 months ago, the very first 911 call that was made, I know that anniversary was coming around. I think that's when our phone system was implemented.
I think it was like April 19th was the very first ever 911 phone call in Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. I was like, we didn't get our first call. What?
Like, what are you talking about, you fool?
Blame the ear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
We still have like Zach Morris brick phones.
That's right.
Saved by the Bell ones.
We joke, but we do have a good setup there. I mean, we have some nice consoles and everything. And the view that we have is beautiful.
To say the least. Yeah. These huge bay windows that go floor to ceiling all the way across. There's an all sports lake that we can see out behind our center. What is your center like, Kristen?
We have three mirrored windows and we can see a brick wall. It's really awesome.
Look at you, fancy pants. That's awesome. Yeah,
it's an awesome brick wall. Really cool. And sometimes lizards crawl on it.
Lizards, see? We don't have lizards.
I know. Do you guys get some chalk and do some drawings on your breaks?
Yeah. The windows are high up. And so when you look at them, all you see is the brick wall. There actually is, because, you know, our building that we're in now, where we no longer have law enforcement presence in our building. Mm-hmm. So the building that we have now, for the night shift people, we have an enclosed area that they can go outside at night and feel safe and secure because it's only accessible through the inside of the building. Okay. So those windows actually look out over what we call the Serenity Garden. And there's jasmine growing out there and flowers and monkey grass. And it's really very pretty when you go out there. But when you look out the windows, because they're so high up, all you see is the brick wall.
Yeah, we don't have that. I mean, we are out in the middle of nowhere. Our center is, which I like that. I mean, we had to fight with parking and traffic and that kind of stuff. That would be frustrating, but we don't have to worry about any of that. But we don't have a Serenity Garden.
We don't have monkey grass either.
We don't have monkey grass.
We have like toad grass or something.
We have bunny
know.
Poop.
There we go.
Deer.
Yes. There you go. That's Raccoons. What we have. We have deer grass. I was trying to think of a different animal because I've never heard of monkey grass, to be completely honest.
Oh, well, it's probably a southern thing. It's just like a decorative grass that people...
Ornamental grass. We have
that.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I call it monkey grass. I'm sure it has a better name.
Oh, that's not its actual name.
I'll have to find a picture and post it on the post when we put this up.
Monkey grass. Yes.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, the your Facebook page, can you tell us what kind of fans you have on there? I know they're all mad dispatchers, but you know, the people that post stuff on there and that you might share or anything, what kind of fans do you have?
Oh, we have fans all over the world. It is absolutely amazing to me to get like a wake up in the morning sometimes and I'll have inbox messages, which might I add, my inbox is insane. But like from England or Australia, Scotland, I mean, just everywhere, Kuwait, Afghanistan, we have fans everywhere. And it's just amazing to me to chat with them and find that we have the same complaints here as they have there. The lack of morale, the rules that only apply to certain people, you know, the way things shift on a regular basis. It's okay to do it this way today, but it's not okay to do it that way tomorrow. We have the same complaints everywhere. And it's just... it amazes me to see how much comes in that inbox. And I can tell you, in the mornings I wake up and sometimes there's 20 to 50 messages in there.
Jeez.
Are you the only page administrator? Or do you have other people helping you out?
I do have a lot of people who ask to do it, but I'm really, really protective of the Mad Dispatcher. You know, I have a few other admins who do help me, Pegs and Jen. You'll see CCH and LL post sometimes, but they are close friends that I work with on a daily basis. They are not, they're not random strangers anywhere. So I'm really, really particular about it.
Man, that sounds like very busy. You know, for there was a time where I was getting a bunch of stuff on my other fan page for Jabberlug before I was doing, you know, podcasts when he was just blogging. And I thought I was posting a lot. And then we'll be at work and we notice there's all these memes that are coming over as KMK, KMK, KMK. Like, man, she posts more than I do. Like, I thought I posted a lot, but I have nothing on you.
Well, I try to make sure there's a post every 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the success is that, you know, I'm accessible 24/7. Now, I'm not saying that I set an alarm clock and get up every 2 hours to post on Facebook, because that ain't happening. I like my sleep. But, you know, you can set posts in advance so they come up every 2 hours. And that's, you know, what I do is I set them for days on, you know, like right now, I think I'm set up.
I was kind of concerned. I'm glad you said that, because I just thought, she posted while we were in the middle of an interview. I'm on your page right now and it popped up and I thought, that KMK, we are that boring.
No, I promise it was set to post. But I do set my post. And then the reason I do them every 2 hours is so anything that comes in important in between, like whether it's on the wall and it needs to be shared or in my inbox, that way I can go back in and post those in between the set posts. And, you know, they can always be moved around. Like that post that came up was supposed to come up at 2, but I moved it so I could put the Within the Trenches post on there. So I just kind of backed it up. So you can arrange them. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but I had somebody who got really upset with me last week because they had posted something on the wall and they felt that it was an important issue. And it was an important issue. They posted it on the wall. I didn't see it. I worked for 12 hours. I trained my trainee for 12 hours. And when we're training, you know, when I am training somebody, they have my 100% attention. I'm not on my phone.
As they should.
I am not on Facebook. I am 100% about them. And she flipped out. I got home and had like an inbox full of nasty messages from her.
Are you serious?
Because she thought that the posts that I posted that day were inappropriate, considering I didn't post her post. Wow. So I had to explain to her how it works, that I wasn't ignoring her. But, you know, people... I do every once in a while run into people who think that I owe them something. And unfortunately for them, I do not owe them anything.
I'm kidding. This is your outlet. This is what you do. And I'm thankful that people like to look at it and want to be a part of it and everything. But yeah, you don't owe anybody anything.
Yeah.
No, I got a mortgage, so I owe somebody something.
Well, there you go. For any of those people who are listening. Yeah. Now, you know. We don't owe you anything.
What a great way to get listeners. Good job, guys. We don't owe you anything.
We
owe you our thanks.
Yeah, it is good to say, though, because there have been times where I would get text messages from people, you know, people that I know, friends saying, when are you going to post up something else on Jabberlog? And this is before the podcast. And I'd say, I've got to do homework. I just got off of working and I also have family time. So I'll post it when I post it. And it's like, okay, well, you know, just wondering what happened. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, get your own blog if you wanted me to talk about you so much.
I know.
Get your own blog. Stop telling me to talk about you on our podcast and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, you know, anybody listening, if sometimes you see a bunch of stuff go up and then stuff that, you know, I have this long delay or something, that's why, because I also have a life. And just like you, Kristen, you've got a life as well, and you have other things that you're doing. So,
and that's that. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule for this, Kristen. It's nice that you're on Eastern Standard Time like we are, because some of the other ones I've had to, when we interviewed Bobby from Royal Canadian Mounted Police, way over on the West Coast, trying to figure out times and everything. And so that was nice, but we do appreciate this big chunk of time we've taken from you.
Oh, not a problem. I've loved it.
Is there anything that you would like to leave? Actually, you know what? Before we go into this wrap up, there was one thing that I wanted to ask you that I did not get the chance to ask you. And that was, do you remember your very first call? Do you remember that at all?
Oh, I 100% remember it, because I 100% screwed it up.
I feel screwed you. The pooch. I feel you.
My very first call, I was released as a call taker, sitting over there by myself wearing my big girl panties. I had it all ready to go. The phone rings and I answer it. And this lady says, there's a guy walking down the street. He has a hatchet in his head. Okay. And I put in a call for a suspicious subject walking down the street with a hatchet in his head. Did I send an ambulance? No. Did I send a fire truck? I sent the cops to a suspicious subject walking down the street with a hatchet in his hand. And, you know, the nature code, because we still use 10 codes at our agency, is 1060. So, you know, when you get a 1060 call in your pending box, it's not an emergency call. So it's, you know, you're going to dispatch out the domestic, then the fight, then the assault, and then you're going to go look at your 1060 call and see what it is. When that dispatcher read the notes in that call, so help me God, I thought my career and my life were over because she went just postal. But yeah, I totally dropped the ball on my first call, 100%. So like when we get new rookie classes in, I always go down there and spend some time with them and tell them funny stories and answer their questions. And that's always one of the stories I tell because, you know, I want them to know none of us are invincible. None of us have ever not made a mistake. And if you ever run across a trainer that says that they know everything, they've done everything and they're perfect, you need a new trainer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a... Then they'll eat a big piece of humble pie.
Yep. Yeah, he's just got a hatchet in his head. He'll be all right.
He was still walking down the road.
Well, it was an armed robbery, turns out. So.
Oh, so yep. Armed robbery. Oh, man. What about your shirts? Now, you had said, you've got about 50,000 fans. So there's a lot of people who know about this already, but for those who don't, you've got some shirts now and everything for Diary of a Mad Dispatcher, correct?
Yes, we have a t-shirt store that I opened on Etsy that's been, you know, really popular. I like to think that my designs are cute and cool. And, you know, there's really not a lot out there for dispatchers. You know, when you go looking for cop stuff, there's 8,000 websites. Mm-hmm. You know, or firefighter stuff, you can get stuff anywhere for them, but you never see any dispatcher shirts or stuff like that. So I hooked up with a supplier who's a fan of the page. Her name's Carrie, but she also owns a t-shirt shop. And so we kind of hooked up together and we've been working it out. And it's been a little rocky the first month. We had issues with figuring out the shipping and getting things straight, but we are on a roll now.
So how can we find it? If we go to Etsy, do we just search Diary of the Mad Dispatcher in the search bar?
You just search the Mad Dispatcher. It wouldn't take the diary part. Yeah, it was too long. You just search the Mad Dispatcher. Every design that we have comes in short sleeve, long sleeve, sweatshirts, or hoodies. And we try to add more designs. As it is now, we have about 90 items that are...
Yeah, they're cute. I'm here right now.
Yep.
Everybody go check that out. The Mad Dispatcher. If you go to Etsy.com. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Etsy... E-T-S-Y, Etsy.com. And if you're not familiar with it, you will be, and you will download the app on your phone, and you'll spend way too much money at all these cute Etsy stores. it's like a lot of handmade stuff that people can post in their own Etsy store online. And it's interesting. But yeah, there's a search bar at the top, and sure enough, I typed in the Mad Dispatcher, and I'm here right now. I think this vintage German motorcycle helmet that came up, I don't think that's yours. The leather helmet. I'm not quite sure where that came from. But.
I do love a biker, but I'm pretty sure that's not mine.
No, not yours. Okay. Not mine.
Yeah, I saw the same thing when I had sent you an email, Kristen, about Etsy and everything that I was telling you that we were going to do these plugs. I saw the exact same thing. I searched for it. And that helmet popped up.
See, I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Maybe you need to buy that helmet. Maybe it's an omen.
Oh, see, we could sit it on the table.
I look scary to me. It does not look like a vintage helmet. It looks like something that the guy on Con Air wore when they had him in the cage.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what his name was.
Anyway. Or Murdoch from the A-Team.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
But yeah, well, it's great stuff.
Thank you very, very much, Kristen, for joining us for episode number 18 of Within the Trenches. It's been great talking to you.
I had a blast. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks again, Kristen. We appreciate your time.
Thanks.
And this is going to be the wrap-up for episode number 18. And for any suggestions, comments, anything that you want to send to the show, you can send an email to the jcast@thejabberlog.com or wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @Jabberlog. And please go to Facebook and like Within the Trenches, we just got a new Facebook page. We ended up splitting it off from Jabberlog because Jabberlog holds all the podcasts and all the blog posts that I've done. But Within the Trenches, it started to get so big and popular that I needed to switch it to its own page. So make sure to go on Facebook. It's facebook.com/withinthetrenches. And also make sure to check out Diary of a Mad Dispatcher on Facebook as well as Etsy.com. And like Whitney said, just search the Mad Dispatcher. And all of this will be posted later on today on thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.